If you will, turn or scroll your Bible to Psalms chapter 1. And before I get into the passage, there's some things I want to share in a sense of normally when I'm asked to preach, I think of what am I going to preach on. So I either think of the things that I've been working on already, or I look to see what the church may be in need of. If, you know, sometimes I preach when the pastor left and everything else, and you try to think about the needs of the church. However, this one's different. This is my first time preaching here at Covenant. And this is a sermon that I'm preaching to myself. So it's not exactly what I see that the church needs. It's actually what I'm in need of. That lately I've been going through a tough time, letting the cares of this world rip me apart. You know, I feel like the rivers that's supposed to flow to the ocean, but they run to so many different cities, and by the time they get to the ocean, they're no longer a river, they're just a dry bed. And that's what I allowed the world to do. But praise be to God that He's the river that supplies me. So, with that, I want to open up with something that one of my favorite writers said, John Calvin, on this topic. And this is my exact words, if you will. I'm going to steal it from him as we get into the book of the Psalms. He says, according to the book of the Psalms, "It is hard to express in words what varied and shining riches this treasure contains. Whatever I'm about to say, I know will fall far short of the worth of the book of the Psalms. But because it is better to give a taste, however slight, to my readers, than to remain utterly silent, permit me to touch briefly on a matter whose importance cannot be completely explained. Not without reason, it is my custom to call this book an anatomy of all the parts of the soul. Since there is no emotion anyone will experience whose image is not reflected in this mirror, indeed, here is the Holy Spirit has drawn to the life all pains, sorrows, fears, doubts, hopes, cares, anxieties, in short, all the turbulent emotions with which men's minds are commonly stirred." And that's my hope, is to just give you a taste. Brother Ed said he was hungry, and I said, "I'll give you a taste." So my goal is to make this psalm my own, in which you can make it your own. So let's read together Psalms chapter 1. Or follow with me. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here gathered, Lord, to listen to your word, Lord, as you speak. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would be with me, Lord, a slave so unworthy to even taste of your goodness. But Lord, we gather here together because you loved us and you have called us together. We pray, Lord, that you would feed us by your word. Lord, that you would give me clear speech and a clear mind. Lord, that my assurance would be in you. So Lord, help us stir our hearts together. Lord, feed us with this psalm. Lord, for we all come here not in the same emotion, but we all come here because we love you. So Lord, be with us. Be merciful to us, I pray. Amen. You know, you might be asking why Psalm 1. And I look, and this is just what the Lord has laid on my heart to stir my own heart. There's psalms out there, I'm sure the psalms are easy, if you will, for us to understand, you know, because we relate to them, because once again, we can live them. And there's Psalms 1 that always touched me. There's Psalms 23, 51, 37. Those are all the Psalms that the Lord has always, when I am going through some tough times, seems to lead me. But here I wanted to come to this as the commentators come together and they say that this, whoever put the Psalms together, whether it's Ezra, whoever, he put this here for a reason, that this is just not put together in just a capricious way. And I often saw this as just a basic introduction to the Psalms, that it's just a psalm to help you understand the other ones, which is true, but there's more here than just mere walking this way, walking that way. Here's the righteous and here's the unrighteous. There's way more implication than just merely that. That truth is there. And in order to understand, I want us to see something as I present this. I hope to present it in three fashions. You know, in your outline on the bulletin, it says the declaration, the affirmation, and the conclusion. But I didn't put it the conclusion because what is the psalm concluding? So I put assurance. And within those three, I want us to keep in mind, to really understand the psalm, I've come with, there's three things. One, we have to find out what was the heart who penned it. What was he going through? Can we experience it? Because it's emotion. This book of the Psalms is different than others. It's actually our heart crying out to the Lord of what he put in. So I'm hoping to see it through the eyes of the saint who the Lord had write it. Secondly, to understand a psalm, we have to see it now in light of the new covenant. Can we put the lens of Christ on and see what it's saying? The full reality. And then finally, if we get those two, the third one is quite easy in its application. But sometimes we may think that we know a psalm until we apply it. And we cry and we weep as the psalm writer cried and weep, and we sing as the psalm writer sung. So with that, we see that this psalm starts out with, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." You know, I thought it strange that the psalm would start out this way. You know, he uses a negative here instead of a positive. Blessed is the man who does not do it. Rather than, blessed is the man who walks in the way of righteousness. He uses a negative here. And you can see there's negatives all through the psalm. Therefore, they will not stand in judgment. You can see that he's using negatives to assure his heart the promises of God. So, this psalm is not merely teaching right or wrong. This psalm is not saying this or that. Do you see the emotion here, beloved? That blessed is the man who does not take counsel with the wicked. This is a man who's tempted, battered by the way of the world. And if we see the history, whether this be David, whether this be Joshua, I thought of Joshua in my study, that you meditate on this day and night. Be strong and courageous. Don't look at the world, but stay strong and courageous in my law. You see, he's tempted. We can see it through Israel with Moses. As the people continue to fall in their sin. And as Dennis shared, that's where they were when Joshua, they were in the desert for their sins. And you can see David here, hiding in a cave from Saul. That here he's reassuring his heart. He's declaring that blessed is the man who does not do these things, for in them is the way of death. And though it's so easy, that's not my delight. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You see, his delight is his happiness. Blessed is just another word for happiness. Happy is the man. And we all experience that emotion. We all are happy sometimes in our lives, so we know exactly what that feels like. But here he's saying, he uses it in a negative, and then he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That here the prophet is saying that I will meditate on the Lord, I will not take counsel, I will not walk in the way of sinners, and I will not become them and scoffer to God who loves me. See, this is where his happiness comes from, is the love of the Lord. That this is his delight. That though the world tempt him, though the world says, come, eat bread stolen for it is sweet. Come, join us, put your lot in us, as we see in the Proverbs. Here he says, I'd rather not. Because that would take away my true happiness. And though you mock me, ridicule me, beat me, kill me, I will delight in the Lord. So you see here, here's this saint that says, I can see all the circumstances that want to pull me away. But my hope is built not on circumstances. You know, Christ uses the same negative as he teaches his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. We'll turn there to the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Christ must have had Psalms 1 in mind, because he used the negative to show us our true happiness. And for the sake of time, I'll just read a couple of these Beatitudes. Look at verse 3. Dennis touched on it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And my two favorites jump down to verse 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Christ says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And here it is, we have a prophet who wrote down Psalms 1. You see, beloved, in the eyes of Christ, he's saying that once again, your happiness is not based on circumstances. Your happiness is based on me. And not just that, knowing me. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Happy are you when people revile you? This is mind-boggling to the world, not to us. That the world, we have 2,000 years of just church history and trying to diminish the gospel, and yet the gospel flourishes wherever there's persecution. And we can see that ever so clearly in our study in Sunday school in the book of Acts. That though they threw persecution after persecution, it seems to just stir a love that the world sees. It's not a hidden love. They outwardly see it. For some gave their lives. So you see, we're not tempted in the sense to give in utterly to the world, because we look at the cross and we pick up our cross daily and we follow him. And we become more and more like our master. See why you're happy? Blessed are those who persecuted because they persecuted Christ. Blessed are the meek, the ones who are strong but don't show it. You know, James uses that same argument with anger. But we receive with meekness the eternal word, which is able to save your soul. With meekness. But he's talking about anger. Why do we get angry? Because we think we're wronged. We think something happened. And guess what? It is. But he says, receive with meekness. Take an insult. take a lashing. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Happy is the man who does not walk in the way, because his circumstances are in Jesus Christ. You see, so here's the declaration that the saint and that we can proclaim today in all our circumstances, that the world will try to drag us here and drag us here, and at the end of it, you feel like a dry riverbed. But then we burst out and say, blessed is he. And then here comes the affirmation. You know, he reassures his heart here. Though he's hurting, though he's aching, though the world is in charge, if you will, physically speaking here. Revelation says it, that they were given authority over the saints. Daniel says it. But there's one sitting on his throne, and that's who we look to. So here's the psalm writer burst out, and he says, though I look weak in the eyes of the world, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. You see, this is what I needed to hear. Though my life is not what I thought it would be, though my career is not where I thought it would be, though I'm doing things that I thought I wouldn't be doing, I can see here my true worth. And it doesn't come from a successful career. It does not come by praises of the world. But it comes with trusting in God, that he views us as this tree, and that we see ourselves in light of this psalm, that he is a tree planted by streams of water. You see that imagery there as I explain that the cares and circumstances of this world want to dry us out by detouring all of our water, if you will. But here it is. God does the exact opposite. God does the exact opposite. He says, no, you're a tree planted by streams of water. That yields its fruit in its season. That though it does not seem like you're doing much, that though it does not seem that you're successful, if you do according to my commandments, if you love me, you will produce fruit beyond your imagination. And you will not grow weary, for your leaf shall not wither. And in all that you do for my name's sake, as we see in the Beatitudes, all that you do for my name's sake, though the world says you're a fool, you will prosper. For great is your reward in heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's something that the wicked cannot proclaim, beloved. These are the words of our affirmation. when we trust in the Lord and we say, happy am I, Lord, in all circumstances. For I read your law, and in it I can see salvation. Let me back up for a second. As an Old Testament saint, you would view the law and you would live according to it. You could not say that you loved God and not keep the law. But what does it mean to keep it? What does it mean to meditate on it? Here, the Old Testament saint has to be looking at Deuteronomy 18 or 19 when he says what? There will come a one like Moses, and to him you shall listen to. You see, the Old Testament saint longed for God to see the day of this prophet that would come after Moses and that he would bring a new law, the law of Christ, as we can see. Because he says, and you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. He did not say, and you shall listen to Moses in whatever he says. And then we have in also the Beatitudes, but I say unto you, there is the new covenant, beloved, that we can look at the perfect law, the law of liberty, as James calls it, the law of Christ. You know, like I said, you can see in this psalm the negatives are used rather than the positives. It's not an actual cursing on the wicked, if you will. It is a point that truth is there, but he's not saying, cursed be the wicked. Blah, blah, blah. He's just reassuring his heart that that's their end. And he reassures his heart how? By proclaiming his end. You know, the wicked does not have this affirmation. Though the wicked be on the throne, if you will, using that, they're in control in this present darkness. Though they say, come, enjoy us, be happy. The psalm says no. And the psalm proclaims to the wicked in a sense that here's my affirmation, what's yours? I'm like a tree planted by streams of water. What's your end? And they have no end. The philosophy of the day is the same, though it changes a little bit. And it's what? Eat, drink, be happy, for tomorrow we die. We have nothing else. So let us take pleasure in what we can. And obviously the pleasure is sin and hatred of God. You know, Bonnie Gilbert shared yesterday that her dad stated that I was running so far from him, I ran right into him. And as a matter of fact, the Lord ran into us. For this is all of ours. For we are all dead, trespasses and sin. We are all part of the wicked at one time, before the light shined in the darkness. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked does not have this affirmation. And finally, beloved, we can look at the conclusion, and we can see that it's a conclusion because it says, therefore. He concludes what he brought into the psalm. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Once again, he continues to build on this thing that I will not give in to the world. Though it looks so tempting, though the world offers you an escape, it is not an escape. It says, therefore, my assurance is this, that there's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day to where there will be no sin. And the righteous will reign with him. Why? Look at verse 6. Look how he uses this assurance. For the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And that is a very intimate word, of course, that we know that. But here it is, an assurance that the Lord proclaimed it, and it will come. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows their end. But the way of the wicked will perish. You see, this is not a psalm that is openly curses the man who does this. He's using it in another form. Because once again, I believe this psalm is a psalm of emotion. Not just mere teaching. As here's the way of the wicked, here's the way of the righteous. And he finds this in the law of the Lord. In Revelations chapter 22, we can see a Psalm 1 at the end. One of the best Bible studies I've ever been was Dennis's Wednesday study in Revelations. Because I saw that it's written to me. And here in Psalm 2, you can just see the rivers. You can see the picture of a tree. You can see this blessedness. But look what it says, verse 3. No longer will there be anything accused, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and the slaves will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's our blessed assurance. That no matter what the world offers us, we do not want that end. And not because of mere judgment. We don't want that end because it will take away our true love. Being with the Lord forever and ever. As we continue to read there. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord knows. And the Lord God, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his slave what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed, happy is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And what is the prophecy of this book? In short, Revelations, of course. But in short, the number one truth that I find in this book is, though you're persecuted, and though you live in this world, I am coming. And as you live here, I want you to live for me and be examples of me as I was of my Father. Taste my persecution, because as you taste it, you will become like me and your joy will be full. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of this prophecy, for the Lord knows our end. That is our blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. So as we see, we can see here in this psalm that it was a psalm writer beaten by the world. And yet he proclaimed their end by proclaiming his. That theirs is the way of death and mine is the way to my Lord. So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? That means that we continually live for the Lord, meditating in his word day and night, because that's our true joy, is to love the Lord. And as we love the Lord, we do not walk in the way of the wicked, and we do not stand for the way in the sinner, and we do not scoffer. So let us look to Christ, who is our end. Let us look to Christ, who is our joy. That though you're beating up, though you have trials and tribulations, we can say that, Lord, you have made me a tree planted by your stream. The Holy Spirit continues to come upon me. This is a psalm of blessed assurance. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come and we just praise you, Father, for we did not do any of this on our own. Lord, we did not come to you, but you came to us. Lord, and as the prophet came, King Jesus, who was persecuted and meek, help us, Lord, to see our assurance in all the circumstances of our lives, whether it's sickness or health, whether it's decisions that we have to make. Lord, help them to be in this light. Help them to see that our end is to be with you forever and ever. Lord, may that be our joy, may that be our hope, may that be our assurance as we walk this day. As we walk in the days of evil, Lord, help us to be more like your Son. Help us, Lord, to make this psalm our own. Help us to cry to you, Lord, and help. And Lord, help us to dwell on your promises, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but that there is a day that you are coming to bring us home, to be with you for all eternity. Lord, we pray and we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.